The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Enjoy family time like no other.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, my next guest had his whole life planned out when he was derailed by something he could never have foreseen. Good morning, Ross Larkin.
Well, Brenton, how you going?
Good, good. Now, before you tell us what happened, tell us about living your childhood dream with the biggest club in Belfast, namely Linfield.
Yeah, it was a big dream of mine just to play professional football. And it was actually my first year playing full-time football. I was only part-time before that, but it was my first year, and I was playing for Northern Ireland under-21s as well, so I was sort of flying high at that stage.
So you're living the dream. Your boyhood dream has become a reality, and you are playing for a team that you love, and it's professional now. And then, what happened?
Well, basically, it was my graduation ceremony in Queens, and I got the day off football, and in the evening time, I felt the pressure in my eye, but I didn't really think much of it.
Yeah.
Next thing, the vision just went, like click of the fingers, lifted, or my peripheral vision went.
Right.
And I just knew at that stage something wasn't right.
Okay. So what did you do?
So my brother took me to the hospital straight away, and then went to the hospital. I think they thought I had a stroke. First off, a mini stroke, and then I had another scan, and they saw something a bit more suspicious. They saw some sort of growth, but they didn't know exactly what it was. So sent me away for a week, and said come back. And when they sent me away, the growth had nearly doubled in size. So I think they were very alarmed at that stage.
Wow. Wow, so this kind of came out of nowhere. You're living your best life, playing professional football, graduating from Queens, and you get a pain behind your eyes, and all of a sudden you're told you have a growth in your brain.
Yeah, I know, like, it was such a shock, because like, I had a game a few days before that, and as a centre-half, a defender, I'd be heading the ball like numerous times a game, like, and no symptoms whatsoever. And the next thing, just out of the blue, just told you have a brain tumour, like, and it's hard to take.
So how much work had gone into your football career at this stage?
Well, obviously I've been playing since no age, like, I've grew up playing and loving football all my life, and obviously playing for Linfield, like, had to work hard breaking into the team and all, and stuff like that. So it was a massive commitment, and like, my family, my dad's a big supporter of my football and all, and he drove me around the country, and it's obviously a massive part of my life.
Of course. So you're taken out, you're ill, and the football club remained kind of tight-lipped, did they, to protect your privacy?
Yeah, we didn't really want to say anything until all my treatment was done. So the treatment was near enough a year, so we didn't really say anything until that the treatment was finished.
Sorry, and when were you diagnosed, and what was the actual diagnosis then?
I had my surgery to remove the tumour in December 21, and then they sent away the biopsy to see what it was, see what type of tumour it was, and came back and said it was a grade 4. So that was tough to hear for obviously for me and my family, and they said they couldn't really do much. Like, it's sort of a tough diagnosis, and there's not a great outcome. But thankfully, after 3 weeks, we came back with a more in-depth report, a molecular report, you call it, and they said it was a grade 3 and it was a lot more treatable. So I think that was sort of the saving grace at the time, just that it was treatable, and there's a way sort of out of this. Like.
Wow, and you're so young. So you're told you have a grade 4. Glioblastoma, and which was a terminal diagnosis. I mean, and you were left with that diagnosis for a number of weeks. What was that time like for you?
I think it was more stressful for my mum and dad. Like, I sort of just stepped away from it, because the doctor never actually said terminal or anything. Like, so I knew it was bad, but I just sort of stepped away from it and let them deal with it. I think my mum and dad were just in, obviously they were hopeful and they were still like, still hopeful that I would make a breakthrough, but they were also very, very like distressed at the same time.
Of course. And okay, so then you get better news. So there's a slight corner turned here, and that changes that changes the outcome for you. And was that great to hear?
Yeah, that was. I think that was just the turning point. And just since then, everything's just been a lot more positive, and just has been a better outlook. And sort of just, I don't know, mentally, it was just great to hear, and it was probably the best news you could have asked for at that stage. Like,
and so how are you now?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm training for the Belfast Marathon. I'm trying to raise a bit of money for a charity, Brainwaves, up here in Northern Ireland. So I'm doing that, but I've reacted well to the chemotherapy and the radiotherapy, and everything's good so far.
That's brilliant. You're training for a marathon, so that's spelled success, as far as I can hear. Anyway, that's great news. But what effect has this had on you, the whole experience?
It's definitely made me stronger as a person. I think, sort of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, sort of thing. I'm definitely stronger, but it was tough at the start, I have to say, like during the treatment and all. But once you come out the other end, you're definitely stronger as a person.
Yeah, I read here that you feel an immense gratitude for lots of different reasons. Can you tell me about that?
I have a lot of gratitude for, obviously, for what people have done for me, and the nurses and doctors and all, and then also the fact that just I got through this, like, and I just sort of want to inspire others, to especially young people, that even if things are looking bad, like you just need to stay positive, and you'll get through the other side, and things will, you'll be stronger for it 100%, like.
So Ross Larkin, you are an inspiration. Congratulations that you're here and running the marathon, and I'm delighted to be speaking to you this morning. But you are raising money, obviously, as you said, for Brainwave. It supports people affected by by traumas and tumours, and you have a Just Giving, right? So it's Ross Larkin at justgiving.com, is that right?
Yeah, that's the Just Giving page. Be very appreciative if for any donations, and
listen, really nice to talk to you. Best of luck with the Belfast Marathon on April the 30th. And it's Ross Larkin at justgiving.com. Thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
All right.
Best of luck with everything.
Cheers.
Take a quick break.
All right.